afraid of dying. It's the thought of being dead. I wanna go on being me once my eulogy's been read. Don't spread my ashes out to sea. Don't lay me down to rest. You can put my mind at ease if you fill my last request. Pop me up beside the jukebox if I die. Lord, I wanna go to heaven, but I don't wanna go tonight. Fill my boots up with sand, put a stiff drink in my hand. Prop me up beside the jukebox if I die. Just let my headstone burn in memory of all of my good times. Fix me up with a mannequin. Just remember I like blondes. I'll be the life of the party even when I'm dead and gone. Prop me up beside the jukebox if I die. Lord, I wanna go to heaven.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone calling my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. right here on Survival Circle. Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and welcome to The Shooting Bench, the most radical, right-wing, conservative, no-holds-barred, information-packed, freedom-loving firearms information program on talk radio, beginning right now.
Die, fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that? For one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
All right, here we are. It looks like it's working again for a little while. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is December 7th. Pearl Harbor Day. There's a lot of controversy and a lot of stuff going on about Pearl Harbor. We'll talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. The computer problems we're having are about to be solved. We have a couple of listeners out there that have given us a hand, and I think we're going to be back in the saddle firmly. Starting middle first part of next week. Not sure exactly when. Hopefully this one will hold out. This one does good. It's doing really good right now. And it'll go along here. And all of a sudden it'll just sit. Okay, I'm done. Tired. I quit. And everything will lock up. The computer itself doesn't freeze. Well, I guess it does. But the programs that are on at the time says won't respond or not responding, and sure enough it don't ever, and you can't restart it, you can't do anything. So but anyway, that's all going to be resolved first part of next week, so hopefully this will hang in there long enough to do that. Got a class coming up in Snowflake, Arizona, the 17th on a Saturday. It'll be all day long, 8 hours. Our Community Emergency Response Preparedness Training class. And right now we're trying to put one together in Albuquerque and another one in Phoenix. I'm waiting and have been waiting for a guy to get back with me on a building down in Phoenix. And if that is able to be done, then we're planning on having that class down there sometime towards the latter part of next month. And we're also putting together one in Albuquerque. It'll probably be the middle of next month. So hopefully all that'll work out. Okay, there's I found a few interesting statistics here I wanted to share with you. It's that time of year. And quite obviously, it's, you know, during the winter, they say the winter months is when most of your home fires happen. Of course, that's when we want to stay warm. That's when we have Christmas trees. You know, a lot of stuff going on in the winter. It says half of all home heating fires happen December, January, and February every year. Thought this was kind of interesting. 905 people die in winter home fires each year, just in those 3 months each year. $2,091,000,000 in property loss occurs from winter home fires. 67% of winter fires occur in one and two family homes. Well, it's not surprising. Cooking is the leading cause of all winter home fire. Now, that right there, it's kind of curious to me, because people cook in the summer too. Maybe they eat cold sandwiches more likely in the summer than they do cooking. But I wouldn't think that just because it's the leading cause, I guess that didn't mean it's that much more than anything else. But it's just 5 to 8 p.m. most common cause for winter home fires. About dinner time. Well, it stands to reason too. So anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there for you just for lack of anything better to do. But hang on, let me get some of this other stuff closed out here. I'm trying not to overload things and keep it running smoothly here. Something just disappeared. I'm not sure what it was. Well, I guess we'll find out later. All right, let's get on to our next deal. This has nothing to do with politics, has nothing to do with guns, has nothing to do with your house burning down. But it was kind of a cute story. This comes out of Campbell River Veterinary Hospital. And it is a true story. You have to wonder, you know, and I ask Amy, where, I know I put two socks in that basket, and only one came back. Why is that? Well, I found out why it is. There's a seven-month-old Labrador Retriever, came into this veterinary hospital, come in because of inappetence, wasn't eating, decreased drinking, and had some soft stool. Lots of energy, but seemed a little agitated. So after some x-rays and diagnostic work, doctor decided to do a gastrotomy. Well, we got into the dog, and here's what we found. 9 socks, 1 face cloth, 1 rubber band, and assorted other debris. She was up and eating the same afternoon. So, looking at the picture here, I don't recognize, it looks like a pair of panties right there or something. I'm not sure. That's kind of what it looks like. I see the wash rag. I see the socks. Matter of fact, it looks like one of all the 9 socks, 2 of them are a pair. So, anyway, kind of weird. Okay. The things we come up with. Now, you guys got to listen to this one. You might have already heard this. It's the first time I heard it. Amy, are you listening?
Yep.
I've got a deal here for you. This, let me see if I can do this without turning the, I know that there is a way to read this. Because I read it once. So stand by here a minute and we'll see if we can do that. Alright, yeah, I think it's going to work. Okay, I'm just going to read it just like it is. just like it is in the story here. Maybe. Okay, it says a nun badly needing to use the restroom walked into a local Hooters. The place was hopping with music and loud conversation, and every once in a while the lights would turn off. Each time the lights would go out, the place would erupt into cheers. However, when all the partiers saw the nun walk into the room, went dead silent. She walked up to the bartender and said, "Can I please use your restroom?" Bartender said, "Okay, but I have to warn you that there is a statue of a naked man in there wearing only a fig leaf." And she said, "Well, in that case, I'll just look the other way," she said. So the bartender showed the nun to the back of the restaurant. After a few minutes, she came back out, and the whole place stopped just long enough to give the nun a loud round of applause. She went to the bartender and said, "Sir, I don't understand. Why did they applaud for me just because I went to the restroom?" She said, "Well, Now they know you're one of us, said the bartender. Would you like a drink? She said, no, thank you, but I still don't understand. You see, said the bartender, every time someone lifts the fig leaf on that statue, the lights go out. So, that's, not only the lights go out, but the computer goes off. All right, there we go. All right, let's move on. We had a... for those of you that buy those cheap Android phones, especially from a company called Blue, it seems that some of the fears of having backdoors into the Chinese have, or somebody having a backdoor into your smartphone, this has become a reality to lots and lots of users. There's been some security researchers found some pre-installed software in some Android phones, and this is true and very real. Found some software installed in some Android phones that monitors contacts, messages, and locations, and every 3 days sends that data to China. This first came out in the New York Times very recently. One of the makers that verified this is a company called Blue out of Florida. They've confirmed that 120,000 of its phones included these back doors. The company said that a third-party application known as, I guess it's AdUps, A-D-U-P-S, I suppose, had been collecting unauthorized personal data in the form of text messages, call logs, and contacts from customers, and has since issued a software update to remove the feature. Researchers at security firm CryptoWire said the firmware could identify specific users and text messages matching remotely defined keywords, but also able to execute remote commands with system privileges and remotely reprogrammed devices. So for some of you that's had some unexplained problems with your phone, you're not sure what it is, well, this might be it. They said it's not known if AdUp software was part of the Chinese intelligence operation or for data mining. Blue may not be a widely known company, but the company specializes in offering unlocked phones. Last year alone, it sold over 5 million unlocked devices. These low-cost phones are found on Amazon, at Best Buy. Any speech therapists out there tonight? I'm having a hard time spitting stuff out here. And other major retail anyway. That's some scary stuff. But, you know, there's ways to reduce your dangers with your phones and your computer and stuff. You know, don't put stuff on there you don't want people to see. I mean, it sounds simple enough, but there's, hey, Mountain Shooter, I don't know what Hooters you've been to, but I, quite frankly, everyone that I've been to has pretty good buffalo. That's the only thing I ever ate was above. I've never eaten hamburger or anything there, but they got the monopoly on Amy said, be careful what you say there. Yeah, they got the monopoly on buffalo wings. Yeah. All right, let me go see if I can catch up with my chat room here a little bit, see what's going on. You know, while I'm doing that, I think what I ought to do, I ought to go do this, too. Since it's Pearl Harbor Day, let's see here. How about... got so many to choose from. Let's... Yeah, let's do this one for right now while I'm looking at the chat room. I'll be back in a minute. Well, I'll remember not to play that one again. I'm not too wild about that. But anyway, you know, there's a lot of money in war. Always has been. It's always helped the economy. The story that we grew up with about Pearl Harbor, we have found in the last few years to be patently false. It was not a sneak attack, as we've been led to believe for the last 40, 50, 60 years, whatever it's been. In fact, we knew very well that it was coming. It even, in a newspaper preceding the attack, there was a, it came out in one of them that said that Japan may actually attack over the weekend. And in fact, they did. The story that I've, there's several stories that I've read about Pearl Harbor and the lies that we've been fed all these years, was that we had ample time to ward that attack off and defend ourselves, but we had in fact been provoking Japan for some time, trying to get them to attack in several different ways, and it worked. And we all go and watch the Pearl Harbor movies and Tora 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 and all that. Tora 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 was one of the original shows out there about Pearl Harbor that literally, when I was like 12 or 11 or something like that, it was quite literally had me in tears going home from the show that night. I remember distinctly. I can show you the corner in the street that I was on that I remember crying from that movie. And but as they say, you know, the victors always write the history books, and that is pretty much what has happened here with Pearl Harbor. And still to this day, it is probably one of the, well, there's many of them, but it's probably one of the most blatant cases of cognitive dissonance that there is. Because we are hearing the facts now, but we have forever been told that it was a sneak attack, and that, so we have facts on one hand, and what we've been told and what we believe on the other, bouncing around in our head. And that is the epitome, I think, of cognitive dissonance. But anyway, we Doc, go to the corner. Jeez. For those of you not in the chat room, Doc says, bottom line is we won. We had 1911 and Japs had Glocks. Grox, peanut writers.
That's right, Peanut Rider. They had Grox. Okay. So sorry. Oh, dear. You guys are something else. Anyway. There's, there's a neat video going around here of a, I think it was a carrier. Might have been another battleship. I don't remember. But had passed by where the USS Arizona Memorial is. And quite touching to see all those sailors out there on the lined up on the deck of the ship as they pass this very, you know, regardless of, of course, we know now that it could have been avoided. We know now that it's not nearly what we were told it was. But that doesn't change the fact that, what was it, 2,400 sailors or something like that on the Arizona dove into the sea, and 400 of them came out. Now, in fairness from somebody that was actually there, they said that more died from shark attacks than from being, you know, shot by the Japanese. But whatever the case was, whether it's sharks or Japs, either one, 2,000 of them didn't come out just off of the Arizona alone. So, anyway, interesting, heartbreaking stuff there. Lost a lot of equipment, a lot of good American fighting men and women died that day. And there's, I would like to see a good, reliable source come out on one of the major news networks with the facts, with the truth about this. There are many places online that you can find it, and all of them that I have seen are—they're all pretty much in agreement with all the facts there. So it's not just something some crackpot dreamed up there and trying to change history. It's—I think it's very real, and from hearing some of the. I talked to a guy, well, I didn't talk to him, so I don't tell him on Facebook, but had talked about his granddad being on the Arizona. And I guess in the last little bit before the attack, they realized at that point that it could have been avoided, that it could have been countered. And they were not able to because of the circumstances and timing there. Rolex. I've read some of that stuff as well. Yeah, it's like we said, the victors write the history book, so we don't really have any idea who won what. But my wife is bringing something to me right here, remembering the day. Oh, we have a Sholo resident here. Navy veteran. Let's see. White Mountains have been home to several World War II veterans. One is Charles Mitchell, who served in the U.S. Navy. 93-year-old veteran, lives in Sholo. The brave veterans of Pearl Harbor survived the horrific attacks on a day which will live in infamy. December 7th, 1941, shortly after sunrise. For months prior to the attack on Pearl Harbor, the United States had been engaged in negotiations to keep the peace between this nation and the Empire of Japan. Those negotiations failed, and on December 7, 1941, six Japanese aircraft carriers from a position northwest of Hawaii launched 353 Zero fighters and dive bombers to attack Pearl Harbor, killing more than 3,000 American soldiers, sailors, and civilians. Four of eight battleships were sunk, two of which were raised and returned to service later in the war, and the rest damaged. The Japanese also sank and damaged three cruisers, three destroyers, an aircraft, any aircraft training ship, and a single mine layer, along with destroying 188 U.S. aircraft, killing 2,402 personnel, wounding 1,282 others. Japanese lost 29 aircraft, 5 midget submarines, as well as suffering 65 killed or wounded servicemen. One Japanese sailor was captured. First wave of surprise attack begins 7:48 a.m., awakening sailors on Battleship Row to the bells of general quarters and loudspeakers proclaiming air raid Pearl Harbor. This is not a drill. And the rest of it talks about the battle itself there, but there's that surprise attack again. There's right here. Came out in today's paper. So, oh well. Peanut Rider, that's been a thing forever. The government's sacrificing our lives, for financial gain, economic gain.
in terms of a lot of
well,
people.
Well, yes, but you know what? He's not going to be president. He is not, Donald Trump is not going to be president of the United States. Take it to the bank.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
All right, all right.
But he can, and hopefully, and I'm certain it will happen when we have our nominee, mm-hmm. whoever she may be.
Right.
She will take this debate to a higher plane.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody, you would never stoop to his level because mm-hmm. that's not who we are. But let me make this point about Donald Trump because I think it's important for mm-hmm. you to know, also your viewers to know.
What's that you say, Nancy? Excuse me? Oh, dear. Amy just brought me another story in here. And, you know, I guess it depends on how you interpret this. The bleeding hearts and liberals would look at it differently than some of the rest of us. As we see it, Amy and I see it, the headline of this story says, "A Crash Course in Racial Disparities." And a subtitle under there says, "Blacks Die in Police Chases at Higher Rates Than Others." Okay, think about that a minute. See if you can figure it out. And then it goes on to talks about all these wrecks that have happened. And several of them, well, all of them, the ones they shared here, all have one thing in common. Everybody killed was black. Okay, are you with me so far? It says the spate of racial fatal pursuits in Flint, is Michigan, is perhaps the most extraordinary illustration of a long-standing, deadly, and until now overlooked inequality in U.S. policing. The first of its kind investigation by USA Today shows that black people across the nation, both innocent bystanders and those fleeing the police, have been killed in police chases at a rate of nearly three times higher than everyone else. USA Today examined federal records for 5,300 fatal pursuits since 1999, when the government started tracking the races of people killed in car crashes. USA Today, the mountain shooter, you got it, you're getting it. There you go. Yakima Glock's got it, too. USA Today, where's the what page am I looking for? 4A. USA Today also took a deeper look at 702 chases in 2013-2014, reviewing documents, thousands of pages of police documents, and hours of video of pursuits across the nation. Among the findings, blacks have been killed at a disproportionate rate in pursuits every year since 1999. On average, 90 black people were killed each year in police chases, nearly double what would be expected based on their percentage of their population. Deadly pursuits of black drivers were twice as likely to start over minor offenses or nonviolent crimes. In 2013-2014, nearly every deadly pursuit triggered by an illegally tinted window or seatbelt violation or the smell of marijuana involved a black driver. Well, Amy hollering in there from the other room, not hard to figure out. Hello? Black people more likely than whites to be chased in crowded urban areas during peak traffic hours with passengers in their car, all factors. I mean, it's come from Flint, Michigan, originally, here. And, of course, they looked at other towns around, too. But there's a full-page story. Full-page plus one column here on the front page. Percentage of pursuits started over minor offenses, 39.6% black, 20.3% white. Urban chases, percentage of pursuits on urban roads, 63.7% black, 50.1% white. percentage of pursuits involving black drivers when it was light outside, 31.9%. When it was dark outside, 21.6%. Anyway, there you have it. So, I'm sure that Shooting Bench listeners, Survival Circle Network listeners can figure that out all by themselves. So, we'll just let that go with that. So, let's move on to bigger and better things here. We talked about the telephone deal. Here is a judge in Oregon has been charged with giving a gun to a felon. Circuit court judge was arraigned on felony gun charges that he allegedly provided a felon with a gun. Marion County Circuit Judge Vance Day is accused of allowing Navy SEAL and convicted felon Brian Sheehan to handle a gun on two occasions. The indictment was also claims Day used his position to try and gain a benefit, which is a misdemeanor. Judge Day is innocent and looking forward to defending himself at trial, and so his attorney says. That's what they always say. So, anyway, I like to see these where they're, you know, every once in a while you have a senator or a representative or a judge or a cop or whatever. Some of these people that think they're above the law can do anything they damn well please. And I like it when they when their day comes. Now, we've talked so many times about why don't cops turn their body cams on and whatnot. Well, in Albuquerque, it appears that... and if I remember reading this the other day, and I think there was a whistleblower involved here, but body camera videos that captured police-involved shootings have been altered or deleted by Albuquerque Police Department officials, according to court documents filed late last month by the department's former records supervisor. Ronaldo Chavez's 9-page affidavit alleges that video recorded during the fatal shooting of 19-year-old Mary Hawks in April of 2014 was tampered with by department personnel. He says that department officials talked about how easy it was to make this disappear when talking about the police video. He also says officers were instructed to write reports only after videos had been reviewed so that they could write the report around what was documented. If the videos contained images that were problematic for the department, the officer was instructed not to mention that there was a recording in the report or state that the recording equipment had malfunctioned or that the officer had failed to engage the recorder. You know, we've talked about Albuquerque Police Department many, many times on the Shooting Bench over the last several years. And they're living up to their reputation here. In another police-involved shooting captured on video, Chavez says that it had the telltale signs that it had been altered and images had been captured are now deleted. One of the deleted images captured the officer shooting Jeremy Robertson. Albuquerque police shot Robertson, a police informant, in June of 2014. Chavez says that the city attorneys told him to deny, withhold, obstruct, conceal, or even destroy records, telling me that records would not be released without any explanation other than this won't be released or words to that effect. When he told his supervisor that altering video evidence was unlawful, he says then Deputy City Attorney Kathy Levi told him that she was handling the situation. Levi told New Mexico In Depth, that's a magazine, I guess, or on Friday, that wasn't true. We never had any such conversation. Chavez's attorney said Chavez stands by the affidavit. He was fired from his position in April 2015, claims he was fired after raising concerns about department orders that forced him to deny public records requests in high-profile cases. So this is in our private life. There's when you discover something like this and you go talk to somebody about it, anybody, especially a supervisor or somebody that in a position to do something about it. You've got to record this. You know, you'd think this guy, being in the position that he was in, would understand the importance of documenting conversations. So the conversation that he says he had with this Levi woman should have been on tape of some kind somewhere. It's so easy nowadays, and that works both ways too, is that you be careful what you say and do, because somebody else might be, they've got all manner of micro, mini, tiny, bitty, little recorders and stuff now, buttons and pins and stuff that you can't see and wouldn't even suspect. So I would suggest that you use good judgment and be truthful in the things that you do, because it can surely come back to bite you. And it's hoping that some of this stuff from the, you know, and you don't know who to trust with these things. You go to one supervisor and, oh yeah, we got it. We can we understand just exactly what's going on. Well, I'll take it from here. And then the evidence disappears and oh please. Looking at another story, trying to keep up with everything that's going on here. So let's by the way, for those of you particularly in the Pacific Northwest, anywhere in the Pacific Northwest, Nevada, you know, the northern end of Nevada or something, if it's at all possible for you, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it, but I'm going to try. You know, maybe I'll have to buy some lottery tickets or something, but if there's any possible way, I so badly want to be in Burns, Oregon, on the 26th of January. That's next month. We're less than 2 months away from the one-year anniversary of Lavoie Finicum being murdered by those that are supposed to protect and serve. But hopefully, you know, if I'm not able to make it, that's a, you know, 1,500 mile trip or whatever it is, you know, from here. So for some of you that's, you know, inside of, you know, 400 or 500 miles, if there's any possible way that you could be there and represent the rest of us, that would be awesome. Like I said, if there's any way I can swing it, I will definitely be there. I would love to be there for that. And we'll, Peanut Rider. This is the average IQ of a person from Somalia is 68. Extrapolate that to the rest of Africa and draw your own conclusions. There you go. Yakima Glock, that is absolutely right. And I'm not even going to get into that, but the other things I've thought about that. But yeah. All right. Let's move on here. You guys are too funny. See if I can keep my... here's a good one. Short and sweet, anyway. I'm kind of studying up on some of this stuff, getting ready, trying to get my FFL again, and seeing what some of the rules, you know, any rules change and stuff like that, so I can be knowledgeable and not get thrown in jail as soon as I open the Southwest Shooting Authority back up for retail sales. And on your 4473, when you buy a gun, it asks if you are, I don't remember exactly how it's worded, I could bring it up here and see, but it asks about do you use marijuana or other types of drugs. So even though there are many states that this is legal in, the ATF still says that if you're a, that you're a prohibited possessor under their policy if you use marijuana, even if you have a prescription for it. You know, and it doesn't say if you're an alcohol user. I would rather have somebody carrying a gun that smoked a joint out there than I would have carrying a gun that's drank even two or three beers. Because depending on who you are and your body size and whatnot, the Mountain Shooter, that's been on the 4473 for a long, long time, I think. That's, I think that's been there for ever since before the last modification of it. Let me check here and see if I have. I had a PDF of the 4473 on my phone here, and let me just cruise down through here and take a quick look and see if I still got it. I may have deleted it because I didn't figure I'd be needing it. And as sure as I do, then I need it all of a sudden. Because I don't see it on here. But I'm still looking. And I still don't see it on here. And that's because it's not on here. Rolex, if I get the store up and running, going, I will take you up on that, brother. Definitely will. Let's see here. While we're on the subject, let's see if we can find that. Here it is right here. This seems to be the latest version in PDF, and you can bring this up. Apparently, the last change, and there may be some new changes coming. Maybe I need to look up and see what the latest change is. Let me put newest 4473. Maybe I should have put latest. Let's try this and see. Still says ATF 4473. No, I don't want to sign up. Important notice to all federal firearms licensees. This page highlights significant changes to the form. Okay, this is a form that's coming out in January of 2017. The last change was 2012. So what this is, let me bring this up here and let's see if we can find this. Now this is 11E. Okay, the only thing they've changed on this, because it's always said, are you an unlawful user of or addicted to marijuana or any depressant stimulant? Or whatever. What they're doing now is clarifying that with a warning. The question hasn't changed, but it said the use or possession of marijuana remains unlawful under federal law regardless of whether it has been legalized or decriminalized for medicinal or recreational purposes in the state where you reside. So that's what has changed. The question is still the same. They've put some other warnings on here. Warning: if you are not the actual buyer or transferee, you are acquiring the firearm on behalf of another person. If you are not the actual buyer, okay. Another little warnings and clarifications here on that. But other than that, it looks about the same. So I'm going to have to download this, print it, and study it a little bit and see what's going on here. with everything before I get my FFL back. Yakima Glock said, last time I filled out a 4473, I spelled my first name wrong. After that, it was very hard to convince him of the question about drug use. If, you know, Rolex, I very well might do that. I may, I'm looking at getting into, if I can get the money scraped up and everything, I may go ahead and do the manufacturer's license so I can reload ammo and stuff and some of the other work that I do on other guns and also Class 3 stuff. I don't know if it's going to be worth it here, although it doesn't cost a whole lot to do that. I don't know if it'd be worth it where I'm at, but I might. We'll see. But hopefully everything will go well and I'll win the lottery and everything will be just fine here starting. When's the next lottery drawing? Don't you have to buy tickets for that, they say? The next lottery drawing is probably Friday, so it just means every dollar I put into lottery means my babies don't get no milk. So I don't know how well that's going to work. All right, well, I'm going to scream on out of here, and we'll see you guys Friday. Hopefully this computer will hold out through then. I don't know that everything, all the new stuff, will be ready by Monday night or not. It's going to take a lot of work to get everything transferred and get everything back to running, but I'll do my best. If not, it definitely will be by Wednesday, providing I don't run into any technical problems that I can't handle, which that's not too hard for me to run into those kind of problems since I'm a little bit stupid when it comes to this kind of stuff. But, so, I will get on out of here and we'll see you guys Friday for Liberty Lounge and also for Amy's show at 7 Pacific for Living Way Out Here. We got to have her for, hadn't been on for a long time. We got to have her last Friday. If all goes well, then we'll do it again this Friday. All right. Good night. Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. Talk it over, number I can call. Goodbye says it all.